made possible by listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is The Local Edition. I'm your host, Jason Dole, and thank you so much for being here with me this evening. Coming up, we'll learn about the Big Eddie Film Festival. Patricio Rubio speaks to Ariel Schamberg. He was actually here in our studios earlier today. And we'll also be looking for your support at WJFFradio.org because our fall fun drive still rolls along. Right now, to get us started here on a Wednesday evening, we're going to get the latest news from the River Reporter. And for that, we turn to the River Reporter's own reporter, Ruby Rayner, joining us on the phone right now. Ruby, welcome back to the Local Edition.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
So it's election season. We're doing a lot of election coverage here. You're doing election coverage, too. And the River Reporter put together a whole election section. So can you tell us a little bit about what is in that?
Yeah, our election section is a teeny bit different this year. We asked each candidate to choose one piece of legislation that they would first prioritize to pass in office and how that legislation would serve their constituents. Oftentimes, candidates will give statements for things like that, like this, which often talks about like their background and where they've come from, which is also on all of these candidates' websites. So people can better understand what legislative priorities these candidates have.
Yeah, it gives them a chance to talk about something that they care about. And then also what they choose, you know, lets the voters know something about who they are, that that's what they chose is the most important thing. So what can you tell us? What did the candidates say?
Yeah, exactly. The actual choice that they made can say so much about where their priorities lie. So we did three elections on the New York side. The first was the congressional election for the New York 19th district, which is the incumbent and Republican candidate Mark Molinaro and challenger Josh Riley, Democrat. And I'll just mention the legislation that they each picked. So Molinaro said that he wants to fight to implement the Secure the Border Act and discussed how securing the border would, in essence, help bring more funding for mental health and opioid. And I actually spoke with both Molinaro and Riley specifically about opioid, addressing opioid use in Sullivan County, so we can get more into their answers later. And then the legislation that Josh Riley chose was one day, like his first in Congress, that he wants to sponsor the Women's Health Protection Act and restore the protections of Roe v. Wade and to codify those protections once and for all, he says, into federal law. So those were the two. Those were what they each picked. And moving to the New York State Senate 51st district, where we have the incumbent Republican Peter Oberacker and Michelle Freezer, who is the Democratic challenger. Freezer says that her first priority as New York State Senator would be to address public safety resources and proposed the Enhanced 911 Response Act, which is aimed at expanding the current 911 system to include specialized mental health, domestic violence, and substance abuse professionals as part of emergency response teams. And interestingly enough, also Oberacker, in his piece of legislation that he picked, discussed first response. So his legislation was, he cited a specific Senate bill, which prioritizes first responders and public health. It strengthens emergency medical services across the state. And he says that this is really crucial in ensuring that everyone is able, suburban or rural, has access to timely life-saving care. So those were those. And then the last one in New York that we were covering here is the New York State Assembly. So Lou Ingracia is the Republican candidate and Paula Aline Kay is the Democratic candidate. Lou Ingracia picked for his most pressing piece of legislation would have to be dealing with public safety. And he cites that as reversing the, quote, disastrous bail reform act of 2019. So those were the legislation that he discussed. And Paula Kay said that she would focus on a package of incentives for first responders. She discussed tax breaks and tuition assistance for first responders willing to serve, and also mentioned the new OSHA mandates, which are requiring expanded physicals and fitness, and just making sure that small rural emergency services have funding to be able to comply with these OSHA mandates that are coming down the pipe. And I will move to Pennsylvania now if you want me to continue on.
Yeah. Let's see. Which PA candidates did you talk to?
So Rob Bresnahan and Matt Cartwright, that race there. Bresnahan said that his top priority in Congress for PA Congress will be addressing concerns by passing a bill that's focused on securing borders and strengthening the economy. So the bill that he outlined focused on those two areas. And Cartwright's legislation priority was the Made in America bill. So the legislation would bring, he says, critical pharmaceutical manufacturing back to the U.S., making less dependent on China and other foreign adversaries. And it was, his legislation was focused around ensuring that there are jobs and industry in the U.S.
Okay, and that was, of course, incumbent Democrat Matt Cartwright of Pennsylvania's 8th District and his Republican challengers, Rob Bresnahan.
Correct. And then the last one was the PA House District 139, and that's Jeff Ulsemer, who is the Republican and currently sits in that seat from a special election, and challenger Robin Scully-Skibber, who is a Democrat. And Ulsemer says that he's currently working on legislation that includes a storm chaser bill that would prevent fraudulent contractors outside of the area from taking advantage of, you know, homeowners, and a guardianship bill, which will require courts to hold a hearing within 30 days of recipient of a petition to terminate guardianship for an incapacitated individual. So those were those two very specific pieces of legislation that Ulsemer said he's currently working on and is a priority. Skibber says she wants to pass common sense gun reforms to stem the tide of gun violence in schools. She talked about believing very much in the Second Amendment, but wants to protect against gun violence and create legislation around that.
Thank you for that rundown, and that's what's in your election section in the River Reporter. But you said that you spoke with Molinaro and Riley running in New York's 19th, specifically about opioids. Of course, Molinaro had picked that issue, or legislation related to that issue, as his favorite legislation. So what did you learn from talking to them?
Yeah, I was able to ask them both very specifically about how they would address this issue for Sullivan County. Historically, both candidates have been vocal, like, on the subject, and have done, you know, work related to addressing opioid use. So Molinaro, I'll tell you a little bit, but Molinaro really, he's worked in Sullivan County with local officials in the past discussing the potential for a stabilization center, which is like a 24-hour center, and it's somewhere that it's a walk-in facility. People can go in if they're having a mental health or dealing with substance abuse, and they can be seen. And this was something that was, he was involved with creating in Dutchess County when he was the county executive there. And he'd organized some meetings with Sullivan County local officials who are considering establishing a stabilization center here in Sullivan County. So he, you know, doubled down on that and said that he would continue to support Sullivan County in those efforts and support Sullivan County officials. And he's said that he would work to secure both state and federal funding for a stabilization center, and that, you know, he remains committed to that effort for a stabilization center. And he said since that meeting, which was last November with local officials about the stabilization center, he's been in contact with the chair of the Sullivan County Legislature, Nadia Reich, and there's a working group that's been created, but did say ultimately it is on Sullivan County local officials to pull the trigger and decide whether this is going to be a priority, but that he would continue to support that from Congress. And as you mentioned, he also said that, yes, all these things are very important, but enforcement and is a huge reason why he thinks that these things can happen. And he talked about securing the border and creating legislation around that in order to be able to spend dollars on intervening in drug trafficking and address opioid issues in Sullivan County. So also discussed those policies as well in connection to his views on addressing opioid use in Sullivan County.
So what was Riley's take on this issue?
Yeah, so Riley also very unequivocally said that he would support efforts to build a stabilization center in Sullivan County, and that for him, this is a top priority. And he understands that it is a huge priority in Sullivan County specifically. He talked a lot about growing up in a community that was devastated by the opioid epidemic and having that firsthand experience, and had lost a friend who he said lived on the block from him to opioid use. And so working to end the opioid epidemic is something that he sees as a very, very big priority. And he says he's been advocating for a long time for services for people dealing with addiction and mental health. And he connected that also with what happens is he sees that people get caught up in the criminal justice system, and that also adds just a weight to that system, and it's not, you know, puts extra on them. And so he kind of talked about a two-prong approach of treatment centers, and which he said stabilization centers could fall into that category. And then he also did mention that getting drugs out of the community by securing the border and deploying technology that can detect fentanyl before it gets across the border into our communities. And he said that technology is available now, and kind of pointed at Molinaro not necessarily taking steps to employ or deploy, I guess, to deploy that technology, which is, he says, Riley says, is currently available. And then he said the last prong is that Riley wants to work to rebuild the middle class. He said, quote, data shows that when you have a strong economy with good job opportunities, you have less addiction and substance abuse. And then responding a little bit to, you know, Molinaro's history, he said that, and I'll quote him here, my opponent can say whatever he wants to say, but he voted to cut funding by 22% and spent his entire last campaign attacking me for pushing for those kind of treatment facilities. So he mentioned the Farm Act, which was a piece of legislation that he says there was funding under that Molinaro voted against that cut federal funding around opioid treatment.
Okay, well, thank you for talking to them about that and relaying that information. Believe it or not, Ruby, I think we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being here with us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
And that election section will be in this week's River Reporter, and all of the River Reporter's reporting is up at riverreporter.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we check in with Ariel Schamburg of the DVAA. Talk about the Big Eddy Film Festival. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Support comes from the Sullivan O&W Rail Trail, a trail for all seasons, featuring 7 unique trail segments spanning over 25 miles in Mammocating, Fallsburg, and Liberty. Information on events, trail development, and volunteer opportunities at sullivanow.com.
Hey there, it's Jason Dole, just pausing in the middle of the Local Edition before we get back to the show to remind you it is our fall fund drive, and we do need your support. If you have something that you can give, if you have enough money to make a donation to public radio, to Radio Catskill, to fund the good work that we do here, we need you to do it because somebody has to. Not everybody can. It's important to keep public radio, local, community-oriented public radio, funded so that it can serve everyone regardless of their ability to pay for it. If you do have the ability to pay for it, you can help make sure that this resource is here for other folks. Every day, every weekday, we've got Radio Catskill and the Local Edition, and the team that we have put together with Tim, me, Patricio, the interns that work with us, the volunteers that work with us. This is an award-winning team. We regularly, annually win awards from New York State Broadcasters Associations for the work that we do here. And we do so much with so very little. You know, it's a relatively small budget. It's a relatively small team. We're all punching way above our weight here. And we can't do that without the support of listeners like you. So please be part of this amazing thing and help us keep making award-winning radio and news here in this community. Take a moment, go to WJFFradio.org and make your donation now. It's WJFFradio.org. Thank you so much.
In this part of the country, the Great Plains, Democrats used to do pretty well, but now are almost non-existent. And I think that this race is emblematic of how things have changed for Democrats in this part of the country.
I'm Sabrina Tavernisi. That's today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Welcome back to The Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. 13th Annual Big Eddy Film Festival is hosted by the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, and it kicks off this weekend. The festival offers a diverse selection of films. Radio Catskills' Patricio Raballo spoke with Ariel Schanberg, executive director of the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, about what attendees can expect at this year's festival.
It's so hard to believe that it's been 13 years. And I think one of the things that really speaks to the longevity of the festival is our opening night film, Happy Campers, directed by Amy Nicholson, is bringing back Amy, whose previous feature, Zipper, was screened in 2013. It speaks to the long-term relationship that we have with filmmakers, great independent voices from around the region and across the country. And people can look forward to more of the great independent filmmaking that we have screened over the years, as well as some real special programming in this, the 13th year of the Big Eddy.
That's great. Opening theme is Happy Campers. Obviously, we have films that are coming from directors outside of New York, outside of across the world. But one thing that the Big Eddy Film Festival always does is also includes local folks, our local people who are creating artwork and filmmaking right here, not only maybe Sullivan County, but also in the region, the Hudson Valley. Do we have any films that you can talk about that has that local feel to it?
We do indeed. The Big Eddy is, at its core, a cinematic celebration of countercurrent narratives. It celebrates the spark between new cultural possibilities at the juncture of film, art, and this is where I want to hone in on our rural imagination. There's something incredibly fertile about the communities and soil that we have here in the Sullivan, Catskills, and Upper Delaware region, and it brings about and nurtures great filmmakers, storytellers, and the like. This year, we're once again presenting our beloved Rural Shorts program. And this year's lineup is one of our most stellar to date. I'm pleased to say it includes world premieres, as well as some recently highly awarded films. One of them, Spoons, directed by Joshua Conkle and starring Megan Hill, was shot in Lake Huntington. That just received the Best Shorts Prize of the Sleepy Hollow Film Festival. And The Lift, directed by none other than our longtime founding program director for the festival, Tina Spangler, which was produced in collaboration with Tustin Social and made possible by the community grant through Sullivan 180, celebrates the unique townships and intergenerational dialogue that we have here in the town of Tustin. And then a return filmmaker who we're really excited to bring his newest work, which is his first endeavor in animation, This Time We'll Stay by director Mo Azima, is going to open up the Rural Shorts program. We've got films that are really going to pull at your heartstrings, make you see places you're familiar with in a new way, and as well as some great music, because great music is part of our community. And we'll be premiering The Set Aside, a music video by Elizabeth M. Rose, directed by Patrick Sasso, that was shot in none other than Rafter's Tavern.
Oh. And I keep it on the thing when you mentioned animation, you have one of the things the Big Eddy Film Festival does is has a lot of workshops and events that are usually surrounded around the film. One of them is a drawing on film, an animation workshop that's going to happening on October 20th, the Sunday. It's for young folks, 6 to 12, who are, as he says on the website, creatively curious at heart. You can tell us about this event that's going to happen.
This was a workshop we premiered last year with the wonderful James Lawton and Crystal Coy. And they have helped us bring it back for a second year in a row, due, as they say, to popular demand. And it's being led by Alma McBride and Tim B. Shepherd, who are both film archivists at MoMA's Film Preservation Center in Hamlin, PA. Who knew that a great trove and archive of film is located in our own backyard?
Yeah.
Alma and Timby are going to be leading, as you said, makers of all ages, the opportunity to really understand animation in the earliest form, in its earliest form cinematically. They'll be working with 16 millimeter film, and each of their individual expressions will be spliced into a single film that they'll all get to experience. And it just opens one's eyes and really excites the imagination. So we're thrilled to be bringing this back.
Yeah, it's great. Not only the act of this workshop, creating the artwork, but also I'm sure the kids will get a kick out of seeing how film used to be made and spliced together and edited together, not just see film in their hand, because that's sort of a rare thing now.
No app is involved in this. This is all hand, eye, and film leader dialogue. It is, as you said, a chance for folks of all ages, but the workshop's ideal for those ages 6 to 16.
Yeah, I'm noticing that there are a lot of documentaries in this film festival this year. Did that sort of happen, or was there a theme geared towards that? Or
I think the Big Eddy Film Festival has always had a strong presence in terms of championing great documentary stories. I think also the stories that we're drawn to in our curatorial process, really, truth is sometimes more amazing than anything you can conjure up in your imagination. That the story of somebody like Joe Jennings in the documentary Space Cowboy, which just premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival, and we're excited to be bringing it to our community here, tells the story of a individual who, as a young boy growing up in New Jersey, felt like an outsider, migrated to the West Coast in his college years, and fell in love with the freedom and thrill of skydiving, and went on to become one of the leading aerial cinematographers, and documents both his rise and his challenges. And it makes both it takes a story of somebody who so out there and makes it incredibly personal and relatable, both in terms of their challenges and their interests. And I think a film like that just excited us in a way that this is not something that you get in your regular cinema or even pops up immediately in your streaming channels. We work long and hard to find films that we think will really be of interest and appreciation to our audiences here in Sullivan Catskills.
Yeah, we're in the midst of the film festival time. We had the Toronto Film Festival, the New York Film Festival just finished not too long ago. And as the film festival grows, the Big Eddy Film Festival grows, I see more and more of that happening, that films are being shown in the New York Film Festival and the Toronto Film Festival, showing up right here in Narrowsburg.
We're so fortunate. We work with a great group of individuals who bring films to our attention. And we're also, being that the Big Eddy Film Festival is produced by the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, we are an arts presence year round. So we're getting looped into conversations on films and film production throughout the year. It's exciting to see something that you are introduced to pop up in the festival circuit 3 years later, and then bring it to our community. And we're also, like I said earlier, so fortunate to have so many filmmakers in our community where we can spotlight their work. And one of the films that we're really excited about is our closing film, Dory Previn, On My Way to Where. And this film was co-directed by Julia Greenberg and Diana Dilworth, who I know Julia is going to be hitting the airwaves later this week. And Julia was, in fact, one of our individual artist fellowship recipients in 2020. Not only was DVAA able, through our regrant program, to help support an artist in the developing of their work that went on to premiere at the South by Southwest Festival this past earlier this year, but we get to bring it to our own audiences. And we're really excited to have Julia be in attendance at the screening. And she's going to be doing a Q&A with Jason Tagao, who I think is a familiar voice on these
Look at
airwaves.
That. Yeah, as a DJ of the mixtape that happens on Friday. That's great that not only DVA is able to host this film, but also have a part in the development of it as far as giving a financial benefit, financial means to the film through grants. That's fantastic. I just go back on the Space Cowboy. You ever been skydiving?
It's on my list, but
you
I
have
haven't
to go.
Done it.
Yeah, I did it for my 30th birthday. It was an experience.
If you're contemplating being that daring and you're just not sure, I encourage you to come and join us for a screening of Space Cowboy. And another thing that makes film festivals so special is having so many of the filmmakers on hand. I mentioned that Julia Greenberg is going to be with us. We're fortunate to have the editor of Space Cowboy joining us for that screening. And Eric Brugman's going to be in a Q&A with Renick Soholt, who introduced the film to DBAA for the festival. And then later on Saturday, we're really excited. The co-directors of Hummingbirds and the director of Scarlet Winter will be on site with us as well.
It's now a great thing about film festivals is that not only you have a chance to see great films, but also a chance to delve into the mind of the filmmaker while they're there doing Q&A afterwards, which is a great benefit, I think, when you attend film festivals.
It's the communal experience of seeing a film never gets old to me.
Right.
Being in a room and hearing everybody have reactions, sometimes the same as you, and sometimes somebody laughing in a place you wouldn't have laughed or getting choked up in a spot that you might not have thought about. It makes the film so much more visceral. I know we can all, I think I just took note of a film that's, oh my God, already that's streaming. I can get that at home, but it really is the theater experience. And all of the films this year are going to be screened at the Tustin Theater over at 210 Bridge Street. And that theater, which is nearing its 100th year, if you believe it, and originally built in 1926, the great charm of an Art Deco theater and beautiful projection and sound with really strong independent films is a great way to spend a fall weekend.
And where, if folks want to get tickets, where can they go?
They should go to BigEddieFilmFest.com and you can purchase your tickets online. We'll also be doing box office sales throughout the festival, which starts Friday evening at 6:30. Doors open at 6:30 for Happy Campers.
And you could buy tickets for individual films or you could buy an all-access pass. Is that correct?
Indeed. And the all-access pass will get you a limited edition tote bag with an original design by none other than George Colombo, who has done our poster graphics for the past now 4 years. And this year's aerial view of Tustin is just stellar. A great way to make the festival going experience, you know, easier. Right. Just walk right in with your all access pass. We also have some special events, including a filmmaker's welcome at Bar Veloce and the closing party on Sunday. And all those details can be found at BigEddieFilmFest.com.
It's a family friendly event. As always, the Big Eddie Film Festival, not all the films, but some films are family friendly. We're going to talk about some of the kids films that are coming out.
Another staple of the Big Eddie Film Festival, along with Rural Shorts, is Kids Make Film. And we're fortunate to have partners who work with youth throughout our community on introducing them to the world of filmmaking, which is such a valuable experience to have because film is such a collaborative process. And Ron Litke and Ice House Arts, along with our friends at Bethel Woods through their play program, have compiled a stellar roster of shorts written, directed, filmed, acted by youth in our community. And I think their people will find them entertaining, inspiring, and just wonderful to see the experience of falling in love with becoming a storyteller in the movies and through a film be on display. And we'll have the young filmmakers on hand for a Q&A afterwards. Come meet the next Steven Spielberg or get a Greta Gerwig. They're here in our own backyard.
BigEddieFilmFest.com. Big Eddie Film Festival starts this weekend, starting on October 18th. We're talking to the executive director for the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, Ariel Schoenberg. Ariel, thank you so much for joining me on the program and letting us know about the Big Eddie Film Festival that opens up this weekend. A lot of great films, it seems.
Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you all at the movies.
In Liberty, I'm Patricio Roballo for Radio Catskill.
Thank you, Patricio. That's it for the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. I'll be here again tomorrow evening, and we're going to be here for a number of days more asking for your support for our fall fund drive until we meet our $50,000 goal. We've still got a long way to go, but every little bit helps, and whatever bit you can do, we need you to do now. We got The Daily coming up next. When you get a moment, please go to wjffradio.org and make your donation.